What does Allen Ginsberg have in common with the great Chilean poet Pablo Neruda, Turkey's Nazim Hikmet, and the Czech Nobel Prize winner Jaroslav Seifert? The answer, rather surprisingly, is Prague. In this week's Czech Books, David Vaughan tells us more about an irresistibly eclectic new poetry anthology.
Many of you who are interested in Czech literature will have come across Stephen Delbos, the culture editor of the Prague Post. It was his idea to put together an anthology of over a century's worth of poetry about Prague or inspired by the city. He has come up with an impressive collection titled From a Prague Terrace, itself a quote from one of my favourite poets, Ivan Blatný, and it offers a rich portrait of the city, often evocative, sometimes provocative, and featuring some of the great names of world poetry. Should we need any proof of Prague as a literary muse, this book offers it. Stephen Delbos told me more about the anthology, at the same time offering a flavour of its poetic riches.
It's designed basically as a poetic guidebook to the city of Prague, so it's a collection of 120 poems spanning 1888 to 2010, all translated into English from 16 languages, and all poems about Prague or taking place in Prague.
So you've been completely, eclectic in your choice.
Yeah, very eclectic. One of the main ideas behind the anthology was to establish Prague as a kind of international destination for poets in a place that has really inspired an unparalleled number and diverse group of poets over the course of the 20th century and even now into the 21st.
Give me a taste of some of the poetry maybe from over the years that has in some way been connected with Prague and the poets who have come here and have been in whatever way inspired by Prague.
I'll begin with a piece by Svatopluk Čech, which is the first poem in the book. It's a fragment from a longer poem called Prague. One of the critical narratives that I establish in the introduction is basically the way that poets' relationships to the city have changed over the course of time that the book looks at. So here, this poem from 1888, it's kind of the end of the revivalist era, and so you can hear that Čech is really trying to get the public's, get them to be enthusiastic about the city and to consider it as beautiful as any other European city. So this is from a poem called Prague. Behold, Prague, vision sparkles, blearing, Prague. The name alone sings, the mere sound of it rapturously gets down into the strings of the Czech spirit and sets the heart beating a thunderous throb. Let foreign pilgrims take your modest measurements and scorn, Prague, your graying robes. To us, in your beauty, ancient gloom, you are luscious Naples, you are proud Rome.
So that's quite an advertisement for Prague from the late 19th century, and I should add that that's in your own translation, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I did a number of translations from the book. This is actually myself and Hanna Ondraczkova helped with that translation.
And so that's Svatopluk Čech, one of the most unambiguously patriotic Czech writers and poets. How about another taste, maybe, another poem from a different time? This is again by a Czech poet talking about Prague, isn't it?
Yes, this is a poem by Kamil Boška. It's called The Velvet Revolution, and this is the first poem in the last section of the anthology, which is from 1990 to 2010. And I think what we see here is the poet is writing from a much more personal stance, obviously, about the Velvet Revolution. So, The Velvet Revolution. Again, I'm running down the school hallway, a long shadow on the green gold linoleum. Fluorescent lighting buzzes above children's heads. Someone has stuck a tricolor on my sweater with a pin. 10 years old, I'm running to the cloakroom. I'm looking for my winter coat. I'm looking for shoes in the outside door. Waking prolongs the dream with a death image. I remember, velvet had the black and white color of the crowds on the television screen. Actors in the role of a lifetime. Big words, again, innocent. Politicians didn't need politics, only the market. Free tinsel tight around the Christmas tree of the Republic. Almost the whole government was at the airport when Frank Zappa landed. except the teachers kept wearing heavy rings, skirts below the knees, perms, and with thin lips they recited to the class, "Disciplinary action is taken by class teachers for insubordination and inappropriate behavior." They kept it up another 4 years and maybe more. Again, I'm running down the school hallway. I thread a long shadow through the glass door. The wind carried lunch bags around the courtyard, and an invisible hand is dragging me from schoolwork to history.
That's a surprisingly un-euphoric poem about the Velvet Revolution, the fall of communism.
Yeah, it is. Obviously, Boschka, who I believe was born in 79, so he was 10 years old at the time, un-euphoric and, you know, from a very personal or private point of view rather than a public point of view, which is one of the big changes in, I think, Czech poets writing about the city over the course of the 20th century.
For centuries, foreign writers have been coming from all over Europe and beyond to Prague. It's at a crossroads in the center of Europe. Tell us a little bit about some of the poets from outside the Czech lands who are featured in the anthology.
Sure. The first foreign poet is Guillaume Apollinaire, the French poet, inventor of the word surrealism. He visited Prague in 1902.
And he was also hugely influential on 20th century Czech poetry, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Throughout, one of the main strands of Czech poetry through the 20s and early 30s would have been surrealism, coming from Apollinaire, also from André Breton, who gave a lecture here in the early 30s, in 34, I believe. It's interesting to look at, and one of the things that the anthology traces is the way that foreign poets in different eras have come. So in the early 20s, the great Russian poet Marina Tsvetaeva was living in Prague, in Smíchov, and wrote two long poems based or set in the city. And then throughout the 20s, there were some other foreign visitors, but it really took until the 40s. There was a big resurgence of foreign visitors. We had Edwin Muir, the Scottish poet here, who wrote a few poems about Prague. And we had a really eclectic array. There's Byambin Rinchen, who was a Mongolian poet who visited Prague in the early 50s. Pablo Neruda was here at that time. The great Turkish poet Nazim Hikmet was exiled in Prague in the winter of 55 and 56, and so forth and so on. Through the 60s, of course, Ginsberg's famous or infamous visit. One of the most interesting poets that I discovered in editing the anthology is an El Salvadorian poet named Roque Dalton, who was here in 1965-66. And he wrote a long 20-page or more poem set in Ufleku, the pub, and it's called Tavern, and it's this cacophonous poem with five different voices, and it's really quite an amazing, I think, a major long poem of the 20th century that I'd never heard of.
Maybe if you could read us at least a short extract. It's obviously not 20 pages, we haven't got time, but a short extract from that poem. It sounds absolutely intriguing.
I would just give a small preface. His life is so interesting. He was jailed three times, and he was meant to be executed three times. The first time, the dictator who had put him in jail, Colonel Jose Maria Lemus, he was overthrown the night before he was due to be executed. The second time he was in jail due to be executed, there was an earthquake, and the jail collapsed, basically, and he climbed out. Then he was sent to Prague. Eventually, he went back to El Salvador and was executed, unfortunately. But I'll just read the first 10 lines or so. This is in one of the voices. All the voices are offset with different typeset and size of font. So Tavern, in the epigraph, is conversatorio, kind of a play on, instead of oratorio, conversatorio. The old poets and the new poets, too, have aged an awful lot in the past year. After all, sunsets are so terribly boring now, and disasters, a horse of another color. In streets I'm getting to know by heart, countless bodies are making the eternal music of footsteps, a sound, let's face it, poetry can never recreate. So why all the fuss? So that its dusty echo can pile up in this, once the courtyard of kings. Don't talk to me about mystery, night owls, you lovers of golden olden days, for whom the world, it seems, has got to stop. Has anybody solved the one about the navel?
So that's the El Salvadorian poet, Roque Dalton. Another thing that I find fascinating from just glancing through the book is the map at the back, which shows the different parts of Prague which are mentioned in the poems. It's just interesting to see the places which are the main focuses of the poems. We've got Prague Castle, we've got the Charles Bridge, we've got the Old Town Square and the Old Town. But there are a few rather more surprising bits of Prague that have inspired poets, aren't there?
One thing that's interesting is in the first few sections of the anthology, many, many poems, as you mentioned, about Prague Castle. What it seems is that the castle was such an obvious symbol for Prague poets that, you know, it seems like anyone who took themselves seriously as a poet would have to try their hand at a poem set at the castle. As we get along in the century, and especially in the last decade or so, we see fewer poems about kind of the well-worn tourist symbols like the Charles Bridge and so forth, and we see poets looking farther afield as if the old symbols had rather become cliché. So there's a poem set in the southern suburb of Prague, in Haya, where there are these, you know, panelaks, the large apartment houses. There's a poem that's out in Cherny Most at the end of the sea line, metro line, and Dolny Počernica, which is Prague 9, and so forth and so on. And so we see poets are becoming more aware of the tradition and are kind of looking farther afield and looking for symbols that haven't really been done to death, as it were.
For you personally, you've obviously spent years collecting these poems and poets and putting them together, translating them where necessary. As somebody who lives in Prague, do you find that you actually experience going through, traveling, walking through Prague differently with so many of these poetic literary references buzzing around your mind as you go past particular parts of the city?
Definitely. I actually mentioned that in the introduction. One simple thing is that, you know, as you walk through Prague, you see the plaques on the buildings. And when you're researching these poets and translating them and finding out about them, you suddenly realize you know who this person is on the plaque that you've walked by 100 times before. But also, I think definitely what the anthology or the diversity of the anthology proves is that Prague is a particularly inspiring city, and it has been a kind of a magnetic place for poets and will continue to be, I think. And so when I'm walking down the streets of Prague, I'm not walking alone. I'm thinking about the poets that have been here before, and it's a really kind of rich poetic history, literary history in Prague. That it's kind of a cliche that Prague is a great city for writing, but it's actually true. And I think once you start to look at the work of these, so many of these poets who have been here and were compelled to write about the city, it's impossible to ignore.
And finally, where can our listeners get hold of this anthology, From a Prague Terrace, edited by yourself, Stephen Delbos? Is it available in bookshops in the Czech Republic and beyond?
Yeah, it's available in the kind of usual suspects of English language bookshops in Prague. So it'll be at the Globe, at Shakespeare and Sons. And it's also available from the publisher's website, which is literariapregenzia.com.
Stephen Delbos, thank you very much indeed for introducing us to this book. And I look forward to talking to you again before too long, I hope.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.